Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, it is that time again. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Body, how are you, mate?
I'm extremely well and excited with the guest we have today. Go ahead, do the intros.
Yes, it is. It is none other than the GOAT, the simple man himself, the greatest of all time to lace up a boot on our shores. Of course, we are talking about the 2000 Sydney Olympics flag bearer, NBL champion, commentator, the one and only. Andrew, I could go on.
I know.
I normally try and go through all of them. But, mate, we don't have that much time because we'll be in it.
Yes, you did, Brad. Just keep pummeling him out.
Andrew Gaze, none other than the guru. Hello, buddy. Welcome, mate.
No worries. Great to catch up with you too. I hear a lot about your program. I'm honoured that you gave me a call and asked me to be a part of it. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we've got you on a different sort of basis than most of the interviews because we've got 10 hard questions for Andrew Gaze.
Oh, dear.
Okay, yes. It's all directly related to the NBL season that we're involved in, and
we want
your most candid answers to these ones.
Sure.
There's a couple of ticklish ones. I'll kick it off with the first one. Given the fact that Cairns is in last place, they re-signed pretty much the entire lineup. You know, you've got Scott Machado supposed to be coming back next year for a third year. Cam Oliver's going to be returning. You've got the bulk of that lineup that is currently in last place, does not seem to be responding well at the moment to Mike Kelly. If you were Cairns management, would you be looking at a Rob Beveridge or a Paul Henare or someone like that, or going, okay, we can work this out with Mike, even though it seems to be breaking down?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And when you're not inside the tent, it can be a little difficult to make those judgments. But from my position, looking from the outside in, I don't think so. I think Mike Kelly has been able to hold this team together through some really difficult circumstances. You look at some of the injuries, and I know everyone says, well, everyone gets injuries. But I think when you're talking about a team like the Cairns Taipans, they are far more susceptible because the reality is I don't think they have the same depth as a lot of the other teams. And they've got some really great superstars. Cam Oliver, particularly last month, it's a shame that he's had to go home. Recently announced that he's got to go home and won't be around to finish the season. So that is a setback. But him and Scott Machado in particular, I think that they are elite imports in our league. And I think we underestimate the value that DJ Newball provided to this group last season. And when you don't have a huge margin for error, you take away a guy that was really good at both ends of the floor. That can have an impact, and combine that with the injuries they've had this season, it's been tough for them. But you look at the way they play strategically, you look at the way they go about, and I am not critical of Mike because of what's happening this season. And they've been in a lot of the games that they might have won by a couple of points last season, they've come up short this season. So I think that he, given what he did last season, He's earned the right to get through a season like he's going through right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Before Brad asks you question two, you're gonna have to tighten up, Andrew. We only go for half an hour, mate.
Oh, sorry.
No. Hang on.
Usually in these podcasts, we could bang on for days.
Dewey, it's not that, mate. It's your body has a bedtime, right?
He needs a little nap.
And he needs a little pupper nap, so he just gets
just
worried.
Get a bit of cup of cocoa, relax, and then just enjoy the communication here, boy.
You know, every time
we do this podcast,
he's got a different shirt on. I get to see him on screen, and it's not good, mate. It's not good what I'm looking at. He pulls out the 1980 Falcon shirts, like the Newcastle Falcons.
Actually, I saw that. I actually liked it. It was on Instagram. That was a beauty. Yep. And I can't believe that you blokes haven't advanced to the video medium as well, because it's
you've seen
it's
our
something
heads,
that
haven't
just,
you, mate? You've seen our
Well, that's okay. If you can bring out the T-shirts and the and all the other elements to it, I reckon it'd add to the program.
Well, it would take the focus off our face if we bring the shirts out. So
I take on board what you're saying, buddy. I don't even hold twice, just tighten it up a little bit.
All right, I'm going to throw one, and I'm coming to you as someone who has coached this person and now as a commentator, very much spoken about by all of us in the commentary. Is Kyle Adnam as good as what the commentators are making out and is thoroughly deserving a major upgrade, as everyone is saying, in his contract?
Well, I love Kyle. We picked him up at the Sydney Kings when, you know, at a time where perhaps his stocks weren't as high as what they are right now. And he is really good. I think in our league, which is guard dominant, that he's going to be always going up and being compared to some of the elite imports in our league. And as such, I think that he is worthy of a very significant role on the team. But is he a replacement for Bryce Cotton or Castro Ware? I say this respectfully, no, I don't think he is. But can he play a role in a championship-winning team and a significant role? Absolutely, he can. He's a really good defender. Although he hasn't been shooting the ball that well the last couple of games, he can shoot the ball, he can create for others, and in the right environment, there is no doubt that he can play a significant role.
Good answer.
Good answer. All right, here's a good one for you. William McDowell-White or Josh Giddey, who's the more advanced basketball player today?
Josh Giddey. I think Will is – I had Will when he first came out of the Institute. He went to the States and he spent about – I want to say about 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks with the Sydney Kings as a DP player. And it was in my first year and we got him some time, but he didn't play a lot. But I think Will McDowell-White, really versatile, as you saw with the triple-double the other night. He can play right across the floor. He can contribute. But Josh Giddey is a different beast. He is 6'8", 6'9", in shoes. He's got an innate ability to distribute the ball. He's a kid that gets just as much joy out of passing to someone that scores that he does scoring himself. He rebounds and he is off the charts basketball IQ. Now, that is a very, very small number of people have those skill sets. And because of that, he is a rare commodity that can handle the ball. And, you know, this is not an insult to Will McDowell-White by any stretch, but certainly at that age, at the same age, Josh Giddey is further advanced than what Will was.
Okay, thank you. Good one. Coaching ranks. Is Trevor Gleeson the most underappreciated coach in the NBL, or is it the fact that he is in Perth and basically they are the grand poobah of when it comes to clubs and the way they do things? Yeah. Which one is it?
It's an interesting one and it divides a lot of people. I personally think that he is undervalued. I think that you don't have the sustained level of success that he has had, regardless of your resources and the personnel that you're able to bring on board, that he has done it across a number of different generations of players and has been able to maintain a level of success that clearly has his DNA written all over it. And I say DNA because he plays a style of play which is not as common these days. It is a very much a system-based structure that he puts in place both on the offensive end and the defensive end. And it reminds me of the shuffle days or the when the triangle was in vogue. You know, he is the foundation for what he does on the offensive end is off the flex offense, which dates back older than me. But he's doing it in an era where that is not in vogue. People might run a flex cut, but they don't run the flex offense. People run dribble handoffs, but they don't do it in the same system as what Trevor has introduced. And it's one where we talk about that next man up mentality. You can truly do it in his system because There are rules about how you're going to behave in those systems, and then of course talent will prevail. But I think that he deserves way more accolades than he's received, and I think a lot of it is because we think that they are privileged, that they have these advantages, which there are certain some, but they've earned them. And I think that he is one of the all-time great coaches that we've had in our competition.
I've got to agree. He's got 5 championships. Only Gorge with 6 has more. So that's a fair thing there. And they have one disadvantage that people just stop talking about, and that is everyone's got to go over to Perth, right?
Yeah.
Perth have to come from Perth and go back to Perth and come from, right around the country. That people seem to disregard that. And I think that's a factor in the way they're going just at the moment. I think fatigue has definitely kicked in with that group.
You sure you're from Adelaide, buddy? You just gave Perth a compliment, mate.
I'll give anyone a compliment that earns it. You know, that's why I never say anything nice about you. Now, speaking of Perth, Bryce Cotton, all agree, I don't think there's anyone that's going to dispute, is the best player in our league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it amazes me that Aditya Luzada can go to the NBA today or yesterday, whenever it was, that we're looking at a Josh Giddey or we're looking at a Mojave King or these kids over the last couple of years. Why the hell isn't Bryce Cotton in the NBA? I love that he's here. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, I find it hard to reconcile in my own mind some of the people that are getting their chances when a guy like this isn't.
It is. You look at what the level that he plays at, and there are many, many inferior players than Bryce Cotton running around in an NBA jersey. And he got a look, I think he was with Utah for a little while, and he was with someone else as well because I was talking to them.
He was with Joey Ingles, wasn't he? Didn't Joey know him?
That's Utah.
Yeah, he was definitely in Utah, but he was also – because I had a general manager call me up, and I actually mentioned it to him, and we were talking about Bryce. I can't remember who it is. There's been that many that's called up. So he has had some time with other organizations as well, and he's in that small guard category. And I think that it's just, there's two things here. One is a lot of it's being in the right place at the right time when it comes to having extended NBA opportunities. You just find that perfect marriage with a team and a coach, and you can have a long career in the NBA. And I think that he is absolutely good enough to have done that. And who knows, may ultimately get other opportunities as well. But getting back to our previous question, I think that the system that Trevor runs for the Perth Wildcats also enhances his Bryce Cotton's skill sets as well.
Right.
So it's the combination of the two that could Bryce do what he is doing with the Perth Wildcats with any team? Well, he is going to be great in any team that he plays in. But is he going to be as effective without that system? Well, that's one of those questions we probably will never know. But my gut feel is that is just a perfect relationship between a system, a coach, a role. All those things come together and all those stars align to create this incredible contribution that he is making to our league.
Good question. Yeah, good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Yeah. Drewy, speaking of Diddy and stuff, I now want you to put your Kings coach hat on again. Okay. So you're now the coach of the Kings. You've got all the injuries that they've got, as you know, Jarrell Martin, game time decisions and everything, and then Cooks and, Angus Glover, and now Diddy's leaving. What do you do if you're the coach? Do you, and I'll just give some scenarios here. As good as Jarrell Martin or Casper Ware is, do you have to get rid of an import and go with someone else? I'm not saying you do that. I'm just throwing suggestions. Because remembering, Diddy is the next star, so you can't go with another import because they've already got their two. There's no Australians floating around that I know of that can go and replace that. Or do you just go with your crew? So put your hat on. What do you do?
Well, I think it's too late to make those changes as in regards to an import. But I wouldn't make those anyway. I think Casper, we saw him drop 40 on the weekend.
Amazing.
And Jarrell Martin, I think he's a real find. Get a big, with his skill sets, to come to our league with the budgets we have, that is, hopefully he sticks around a long time because I think that he can have a long career in Australia, and as he gets more comfortable with the Australian League, he can be a foundation for which you can build around. So hopefully he sticks around. But with Didi, I think already this year, you look at his numbers, just his stats, they're not highly impressive when you just look at his numbers. His shooting percentages are poor by his standards, and he's missed some time this season where, fortunately for them, they've got some really good veterans in their team in the form of one in particular, Brad Newley, that you can find a replacement for. And over the course of a long season, and if this had happened at the start of the season, well, maybe you might need to have a look around and see if you can find a replacement. But right now, we've seen that when he was injured, they were playing still were able to play some really good basketball. Yeah. Yep. He was a bonus for him. But even with that, I'm a little surprised that based on the form that we've seen, that Didi is getting this opportunity. Now, I know they've invested him in a draft pick, so they want to have a look at him, and he will go over there and maybe in a different system and in that environment with a very specific role, they'll get a player that can contribute to that level. But it is, when you just look at his numbers and his contribution to the season so far, a lot of it beyond his control because of the injury, it's been sporadic at best. And I don't think that he is one that you would put in the irreplaceable, or you'd like to have him, but I don't think it's going to significantly compromise their run home from here by not having him.
Yeah, I think what we have done in that, that's a great answer, but we do overlook the fact that Dejan Vasiljevic is gone, and he was there, at that time when Didi was not making a huge contribution, DJ was, so that's still a one that's a hard one to replace. I don't think Didi's had, what has he had, one good game? That was about this round, wasn't it?
Where
he
really yeah, it's 26.
Yeah,
Thursday night.
That was it, and up until then I thought he's been quite fragile physically. I don't know how he'd stand up to an NBA schedule if he was really out there.
Well, it also obviously says as well that, Pelicans are now saying, well, our season's done. We want to see who we want for next year. That's what, do you agree,
correct.
Drew? That's, yeah.
Yeah, correct. And I was a little surprised that they'd pull the trigger on it, but because they would also be very respectful to the Sydney Kings. They understand that they have really helped them as well develop this guy. And yes, of course, you'd much rather have him. And as you mentioned, without DJ there, not quite as much scoring. There are a lot of there's those variables that's going to present some challenges for them. But that they see this opportunity to test him to see whether he's going to be a player of the future and where he fits in. So I can understand it, but I would have thought that they would be able to make those assessments later on after the NBL season, albeit that it might be in summer leagues or other environments, they'd still find ways to make those assessments.
All right, the New Zealand Breakers, Andrew, this last little bit, they've started to find their, I don't want to use a Dwayne Russell mojo, but they have started to find.
They have.
They have, yeah. And they've got 7 games coming up in New Zealand, which will be just such a great thing for them to be able to get back home.
Totally.
Do you see them as the team that could make a bit of a run at this Final Four and surprise everybody, or is it? They're just leaving a little bit too late. I just thought their form against Brisbane and Perth was phenomenal.
Yeah, I think that we saw it last year with them, but that was a shorter season. So they do have a little bit more margin for error this season because of the extra games. I personally can't see them making the finals, but I would say this, I would not want to be playing against them. Right now, they have really found their form, and if they were to do something like they did last year and do something out of the box that's extraordinary, then if you really stretch your imagination, given that third and fourth spot is looking a little vulnerable, that maybe they are still hanging in there, and they've got some games up their sleeve, and they're going to go home and all those things that you mentioned, but I don't see the same level of talent in this team as they had last season. And albeit that they're getting some great performance, and Colton Iverson's been fantastic. The pickup of Will McDowell-White, he's going to be up and down. He's still a young man, a relatively young player learning his trade that's got tremendous upside. Ty Webster, I don't know what his status is. And trying to find the right mix for all those guys has been a challenge when you're dealing with those injuries. So I can't see it, but I dip my hat to them because what they have had to go through, being away from home for so long, not playing in any home games and not having that same atmosphere and emotion that you get from a home game, it's been an extraordinarily difficult period for them. And the rest of the competition are indebted to the efforts that they've been able to make, because they had every right to throw in the towel and pack it up and pack it in and have very valid explanations, but they haven't. They haven't. Mm. And full credit to them and their coaching staff and everything they've been able to do. And it's great to see them get a reward of playing some home games.
I want to get back to great answer, by the way. I want to get back to the Cam Oliver and Diddy thing. Both players are leaving this week, as we know. They're going back for different reasons to back to where they've got to go. And I just want to ask you, who is more of a loss? Is Cam Oliver leaving Cairns more of a loss than Didi Lazada? Obviously, when you look at what they do, I mean, Cam Oliver is playing phenomenal. But the fact that they can't make the playoffs, who's the bigger out, do you think?
Well, I think because the Sydney Kings are well and truly in the hunt, then Didi is. If you talk about someone who has an impact on their team, then Cam Oliver, the last seven games, he has been, if not the best player in the competition, certainly one of them. I mean, he's averaging 20 and a half and 15 a game in his last seven or thereabouts, those rough numbers. He has been extraordinary in that he seems to be a lot more comfortable out on the floor. He hasn't been dropping the lip like we've seen from time to time, and battling through a difficult set of circumstances because, you know, their season and their prospect of playing the playoffs has been gone for quite some time. So he is going to be a huge out for them. But as far as the significance of losing one, then DD for sure, because you got the Kings on the cusp of being able to eke their way into the finals.
All right, Andrew, how are you feeling? You know, you got through this barrage of tough questions.
No.
I got the last one. This is a two-parter.
By the way, he always has the last word, Drewy.
Good. He's earned it, Brad.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much.
That means you're older, buddy. It doesn't mean anything more than that.
That made me cough now. The Tokyo Olympics. In your heart of hearts, do you believe they're going to go ahead? And if so, do you believe Ben Simmons will be playing for the Boomers?
Yes and yes. I think that they will go ahead, or with a compromised Olympic Games. There won't be the same fan, you know, the fans, the opening ceremonies, all those great things that that speak to the spirit of the Olympic Games will be missing, and understandably so. But I think it's fantastic that provided they do go ahead, that these athletes who have trained for a lifetime for this experience will get that chance to become Olympians. And I think with our basketball team, the Boomers, I think that they are a really good chance to do well. And I think Ben Simmons will play. Now, I base that on, ultimately, I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to come out of the East. I think that they've put together a team that's going to come out of the East. And as such, the Sixers are going to have they're going to finish a little earlier. If I'm wrong and the Sixers go all the way through to the championship series, then I think it's unlikely that Ben Simmons will play, because they're only going to finish a few days before the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
So that would make it really tough. But I believe the rhetoric that's coming out of Ben Simmons, that he's excited about playing for Australia. He seems excited about spending some time with Brian Goorjian. And I think he wants to add the title of being an Olympian and playing for Australia at the Olympic Games to his resume. So I'm confident, and maybe this is glass half full, but I'm confident that he will be there. And I think that with him there, not only will he be there, I am confident that they will be delivering Australia's ever first medal at the Olympic Games.
Okay.
Well, I'm with you, Drury. I think Ben will be there on the assumption that the filly don't go deep. I'm with you. The only thing that worries me about that two-part question that Boddy has asked is I'm just worried with all these COVID cases. I mean, you know, like Japan itself had over 4,000 cases. I know it's not in. India had 275,000. I mean, this thing's not going away. How are they going to do it? That's what I don't understand.
Well, what they do, and we've had times, a whole different set of circumstances, but in the past, where there has been trauma throughout the world, whether it was conflict or other political issues that the Olympic Games have had to issue, which has put the security of the Olympic Games in jeopardy. For me, when I was at the Olympic Games during those times, I felt the safest place in the world was at the Olympics because of the scrutiny and everything that goes on to protect the athletes. And I think that they will be able to do the same and be able to quarantine the athletes where they're in and out. They're in this Olympic bubble where they themselves are not going to be putting their health in jeopardy. As I said before, I think that there are going to be some significant restrictions on fans and how the athletes can move around.
That's really what it will come down to, won't it, I guess. Yeah.
Correct. But I think that the Olympics and the Olympic movement will go above and beyond in order to ensure that these athletes get that opportunity.
All right, I've got a quick bonus question. Okay, Andrew, have you read your dad's book? You haven't.
Let me say this. I have read it, but I think I've read draft 2 or 3. That's probably a lot different to draft 20 or 30 or wherever they at when they were going through it. But I think that, and I'm grateful for you, Boddy, and you, Brad, that what you did to help promote the book. It's a little piece of history that I think that our sport needs more of. And I know, Boddy, I don't know if yours is out yet, but I know that you're putting one together as well that concentrates on South Australian basketball. We need more of it. You know, not enough of basketball's history is documented. And I'm not jumping on Brad's bandwagon here, Boddy, but you have been around and seen a lot. And what is in your mind, we need to have that documented for generations to come because there's not many people like yourself, like my dad, like other very significant contributors that can help continue to grow our game by reflecting and understanding our history. I think we are stronger when we all have a great recognition and appreciation for what has happened in the past.
Yep.
And our game in the future is going to be enhanced by what you're doing, what my dad has been doing, and what others hopefully will do in the future to make sure that we continue to build this great game.
Yeah.
I
don't think we look after our history very well at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Very bad for that.
Can I say, you know, to interview your dad and do that, Andrew, was a privilege. Yeah. Is the first thing.
He loved it too. I know he loved it.
And can I also say, and I'm only going to say this once because I don't want him to get a big head.
Yeah.
It is a privilege to be on this show with Boddy. I actually approached him, right?
Yeah.
It took him a month and a half to come back because he was winding up the computer to turn it on, but he got there, right?
Yeah.
He is an absolute
gas. It's
legend.
Run by gas. It's a different sort of thing.
Again, it seems like it's the we're doing a tribute to Boddy here, but when the book came out, the publishers came. They came to me and they said, "Listen, your dad's not overly keen. Can you give us a hand in trying to promote it to help promote his book?" Because the publishers were wrapped. They even though they were not necessarily basketball people, they were wrapped with what ultimately was produced.
Absolutely.
And they did, you know, they had this long list of radio and other promotional opportunities, and the old man went through it. And one of them, and God love you, Brad, because you're a superstar and you do some tremendous work. But when he saw the great man Boddy was there, he said, "No problems. I want to be a part and have a
I
chat with Boddy."
I did not expect him to be saying it because Brad's there. Trust me, I knew that.
So it shows, and you know, over the journey, Boddy he calls it as he sees it, and sometimes it's not always that. Glowing of his assessment of what's happened in a game or whatever, but trust me, certainly from my dad's perspective, he loves people that have a passion for the game and has contributed like you, Boddy. So, and I say that because he sometimes doesn't express himself, but trust me, he has great admiration for what you've been able to do over a long period of time as well.
That is the best endorsement I've ever heard for my book. It's coming out in October.
Yeah.
A Type of Life, it's called, A Type of Life. And it's got a lot of basketball history in it. National too, not just South Australia, so all around the place. But a fair bit on your dad as well. Yeah, it's. I'm really looking forward to it coming out because I loved your dad's book, I've got to tell you. I said on the show that I thought I knew a bit about him and I realised just how little I did know. And
what
I did know was really interesting.
He is.
Well, you know what? Awesome. I learned some things as well.
Wow.
And there were some elements to it that, you know, he didn't share a lot of his challenges that he faced as a boy as well. So it was sometimes a little tough reading for me as well. It was great. And I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to reading yours too, buddy.
Well, can I just say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and I just want to tell very, very quickly about my first ever game that I played for the Sydney Kings. Now, you may not remember this, but hopefully, right? I'm playing at 10,500 people at the Sydney Entertainment Centre. I'm playing the Melbourne Tigers, and this is the Gaze Copeland show. Bradkey's there, and a good mate of mine, Steve Whitehead, was in the Tigers at that stage.
Nice.
It was 1995. And, you know, I'm a young rookie, and I'm sitting on the bench, and Drewy has gone to work on us. Him and Copes had like 60 between them, right? And we're down by 20, and Bob Turner looks down the bench, and he says, "Righto, Rosen, you're on." And I get up there, and you know what it's like, this, you know, young, short guys come on, and they're like, the crowd's cheered. And as I've walked onto the court, you gave me five, Andrew, and wished me And I don't know if you remember that, but I can tell you, that was one of the greatest highlights of my career.
God love you.
That's where I say apple doesn't fall far from the tree because you are just unbelievable.
No. It was all part of the con to try and soften you up so you wouldn't belt me up. So that's what that's all about. But no,
you are a legend. You are.
I appreciate it. No, good man.
You on here. And look, we'd love to have you back sometimes. Normally, the way we do things here is, you know, we talk about your career and we throw some names at you to give us ideas of plans. We'd love to have you back at another time. But today was all about the 10 hard questions. And we just want to thank you so much for your time. So please, we'd love to have you back at some stage.
Oh, of course. No worries. I love it anytime. Love talking to you. It's good fun. So well done and keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, mate. Andrew. Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
See you, mate.
Oh, what a man he is, Andrew Gaze. What an absolute legend, hey, buddy?
Yeah, I look forward to having him back and we'll talk about his career a little bit because I'm sure he's got some great anecdotal information for us.
He will do. Okay, let's talk. Round 14 just finished. We obviously had wins. Cairns, Sydney, who got a double win for the weekend. New Zealand, you've already spoken about how good they looked on the back
of Will
McDowell. White was great. Perth did Perth things. Illawarra losing both on the weekend, which we thought was going to happen. Adelaide over the Phoenix, great win by your boys. Sydney
and
Kings.
A great loss to Cairns by your boys. I'll take the win over. Phoenix lost both games too, so there.
Melbourne United dumping Illawarra, as I mentioned, and New Zealand. What a great win against Perth. So anything you see?
I just thought the steal by Abercrombie late in the game there when they were going, it was obvious the ball was going to Cotton. He picks it off, lays it up. Brilliant. Love that.
You know, when the commentators say everyone in the venue knows it's going to Bryce Cotton. Well, yep, so did Abercrombie.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm quickly going to race through this. I want your tips for this week. Phoenix versus Kings Thursday night.
Kings.
I'm going Phoenix. Breakers versus Cairns.
Breakers.
Yeah, I'm with you. Perth versus Brisbane in Perth.
Perth.
Good, and they've signed their new import this week,
BJ Johnson, replacing Vic Law.
Yeah, Vic Law. Anything? Things decent?
Well, he's 6'7". He's been playing. They should saw some good to see G him. League footage. He'll be good. Yeah.
Yep. Melbourne versus Adelaide in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Agreed. Illawarra, Sydney, down at the Wynn Stadium.
Illawarra.
Yeah, I agree with. Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to go with that. Brisbane, Phoenix, back in Brisbane.
I don't trust Brisbane. I just don't trust them.
I'm going Brisbane.
Okay, I don't trust them.
Okay, Cairns, Perth.
Perth.
Cairns, though. Perth struggles sometimes in there, but nah, going for Perth as well. Yep. And New Zealand versus the 36ers, we're going for that. Righto, you go. I assume you're going for that, correct, New Zealand?
Yeah, New Zealand. Yeah,
righto, sure. Nodge Nasty, give it to me.
Look, I just don't like the way the travel has been called for a long time. I think FIBA, when they put in that gather step and they confused the area, they made what was pretty much black and white. Now you catch it, that's your pivot foot, boom, simple. They turn black and white into grey. And now what I don't like is that now it's a discretionary call. And when you add a discretionary call, you leave it to the discretion of the referee, and that opens itself to all kinds of negative connotations. So I'm really unhappy about the trial. I know we can't go backwards in time and change it, but I hate that. I really hate the fact that
so the problem I remember, and it's a fair comment you make, I remember as a coach and as a player, if you're going to call one travel, whatever that may be, then you're going to have to call all of them, right? Yeah. Don't just call it the some and the other. And that's where I feel the refs are put in a situation where they struggle because you can't call every one of them. You're going to miss them. So I'm with you. And that's a good Nodge Nasty. My Rose and Rattler this week, we've both got some like two negative ones. Usually it's yin and yang with us, but with this, the split line. Now I've been watching the NBL for many years, and I was actually my son, God bless him, playing in the under 12s Comets team. I was out at Penrith watching all the under 12s play, and there's a couple of coaches that teach the split line, and I love it. Now for our listeners, obviously we've got avid ones that know it, but for the ones that don't, because our listeners are growing, and thank you for Piranha Media for all of this and what they're doing. The split line is if the ball is on one side of the court, you need to be closer to that and literally underneath the hoop, and you're in the middle, that if the guy drives, you're there to help. That's what the splits line is. Mm. There is none of that in the NBL body. And I'm watching the under 12s on the other, and there's none there as well, except for a couple of coaches. You can hear them, split line, and I love that. Yeah. Where's that gone in the NBL? You can get a guy on the wing, take one and even two dribbles to get to the basket. Never happened in my day, mate. I would have been on the floor. John Dawes would have put me in the third row.
Yep. Yep.
You are not coming in here because I'm on the split line. Bruce Bolden, that's out of there.
Yeah.
Mate, we're not teaching that anymore. Where's it gone?
I don't know. And I've watched the same thing with equal amount of despair, Brad, because I think now if you make a curl cut, the guy will chase you around behind the curl cut, land up behind you. It's like, when did that happen that you can't work out how to get through or fall off? Or,
well, even if you
a lot
do
of defensive cut, principles
the are
gone.
To crack you as well to let you know you're not coming in here.
Yep. I despair. Travels, split lines.
That's where our game has gone to a smaller dimension and they're running. There's none of those. There's not as bigs anymore. Like you got your Nate Jawais and stuff, but there isn't the Dean Utoffs and James Crawfords and Bruce Boldens and John Dorge and Anstey's and these guys. It's not like that anymore. So interesting times. Mate, thank you. It was a great episode. We went and had the man, Andrew Gaze, the GOAT, greatest of all time. He's an absolute legend. Have a great week, mate.
You too. Talk to you next week.
See you next week, or... Okay, I've got to ask you, though. You've read both books now. What's better, Andrew's or Lindsay's?
Oh, that's... Gee whiz. Oh, God, that's a hard one. I think possibly Lindsay's might
be. See you, buddy.
See you.